Welcome to This Woman Can, the Women's Leadership Podcast and your source of information related to women's leadership, female entrepreneurship, personal success and career advancement. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland, Executive Coach, Leadership Development Expert and the author of This Woman Can, the No Bullshit Guide for Women Who Lead. And now, this week's episode. Hi everybody and welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. I hope wherever you are, everything is well with you and you're in fine spirits despite all the turmoil that's currently going on. Now, when I select guests, when I select my guests for the programme, it's usually because my interest has been piqued by something I've seen about the media. Sometimes it's about the position or the journey or a post they make maybe on social media that I've read, and it piques my interest. And when I see a woman that has reached some higher echelons or made great strides in her career, I usually know that there's a much bigger story behind their journey or her journey that you cannot see from the outside. So being the inquisitive person that I am, aka nosy, this always piques my interest as to having them on the show, because I really want to know about how they got to where they are, for them to share their experiences and obviously talk a little bit more about their journey. And this week is no exception with my guest, Wendy Del Mar, who is the CEO of the Caribbean Association of Banks. Now, Wendy was very open with her discussion with me and her journey and how she's got to where she is and what shaped her. She brings over 20 years of experience in mainstream banking to leadership of the Caribbean Association of Banks, and she previously worked with a very known well banking arm, Scotia Bank. She says that she's ever grateful for the opportunities and growth that have allowed to challenge herself and become a solid individual in the field of finance. And during her journey, she has held progressively senior roles. She started her career in retail banking as a teller, moved to customer service and then lending. And from there, she broke off into training where she rediscovered her love of imparting knowledge. And I think that love, when you hear her story, started way before going into banking. She's worked throughout the region on various technological enhancements, and she later returned to Barbados as a retail and small business coach, which she retained for 2 years for return to St. Lucia as the branch manager for the Castries operation, and took on the role of the president of the Bankers Association for St. Lucia. Both posts she held until she joined the Caribbean Association of Banks in November 2018. Very talented lady. I really want you to listen to what she says, because there are some real gems in there. And like I said, sometimes you just have to sit back and just really listen to the message that's being sent. There's always learning, and I love some of the messages she shares. So I'm not going to go on anymore about it. I'm going to let you listen and enjoy my interview with Wendy Del Mar. So hi, Wendy, and welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. How are you?
Hi, Janice. Well, I can tell you that it's great being on this program on a Monday morning. I can't think of a better way to kick off the week than to share experiences with other ladies and some gentlemen who may join in as well.
Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. Now, I would have read your bio at the beginning of the program, and obviously you've spent a long time in banking. But yes. Tell us about some more about your journey and what motivated you to get into that field of work.
Well, to be honest with you, and I think a lot of people who know me really, really well know that banking and finance was not necessarily my first choice, but it became my passion. My very first job was as a teacher, and I think that the greatest joy for me has always been the ability to motivate people to do a lot more than they anticipated that they could.
Right.
So at 16, I taught 5-year-olds, and my greatest reward really was to see children coming into my classroom, not being able to read and write. And at the end of the year, they had morphed into something fantastic. They could write their names, they could say the alphabet. And so I've always overlaid that in what I do in banking.
Right.
Always
right.
looking for the best in people and helping people recognize their own innate potential. Once you unlock something in them, the results are oftentimes way beyond what you could have imagined, and also what they could have seen possible for themselves.
Right, right. So how the switch then? Because obviously teaching, banking, first of all, let me commend you for teaching five-year-olds. I would harken myself back to when my children were that age, and yeah, you couldn't have paid me enough money. But the move from teaching to banking, what made you do that pivot? Especially now, some people may be considering that given the current climate.
Mm-hmm. I think part of the drive for me was that I didn't think that within my own environment, and I was raised in the ghetto, I was raised in New Village, which is a very small area where, you know, people are not necessarily motivated to do more than what is before them.
Yes, yes.
But my mom raised my brother and I independently as a single mom, and a big part of what motivated me to go into banking was just to understand money.
Right.
People often see money as evil. You know, there's no respect for it. But I wanted to understand how money, if respected, could do well for others, right? And more so for myself. And so that really was the driving factor in me becoming a banker. And I really have absolutely no regrets in making that pivot and that decision.
Yes, yes. And you're so right about the factor of money. I was the product of a single parent, and I also was a single parent at one time. Right. And the thought of money wasn't so much it was evil, it was about how do I make it go far enough, stretch enough, you know, with the children and stuff like that. So I think financial education is incredibly important, and again, it's probably more prevalent now. Again, as we're in this environment.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, for me, even when I was a teacher, and like I said, 5-year-old boys, most of my classroom experiences with money matters, I would actually ask a bank to allow me to host in the banking hall.
Right.
And in my previous role as a branch manager, I often sent invitations actually to the schools to say, when you're doing that part of the curriculum, please bring the children in.
Yes.
I think money is something that has to be a hands-on discussion. There tends to be a lot of hesitation. There tends to be a lot of fear of people going in and having an open conversation with their banker, which is truly only meant to help you facilitate your goals. It's simply a vehicle to getting you from financial dependence to financial independence and freedom. But even as recently as 2018, when I would have last worked in the bank environment, I still found that some people were cautious in having open, honest conversations. And I think if we are truly to overcome a lot of the challenges that we face, to your point, financial education is going to be a huge part of an ongoing discussion to facilitate that.
Fabulous, 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 fabulous. So Wendy, again, you have lots of changes, and you probably had a few life challenges like we all have. Mm-hmm. But could you describe one of your biggest challenges and how you overcame them, or overcame that particular challenge, and the lessons you learned from it?
Okay, sure. There have been a lot of defining moments in my life. One would have been health. I would have faced two major health crises at two different points in my life, 2012 and 2015.
Right.
But I think the most singularly defining moment for me was the loss of my husband in 2016 to a vehicular accident.
Wow.
Like everything else, my husband and I had a loving relationship. I still think of him and speak of him perhaps more than I mention his name now more than I did when he was with us. Physically. So that would have been a very traumatic experience, not to mention that I was left to raise three boys. My boys are now 14, 11, and 4, and I'm thankful for them because they carried me through what could have easily been the darkest period of my life.
Yes.
But in terms of, I don't like to dwell on what if he was here. I am very progressive and forward-thinking, and I think constantly that I must, one, remain a strong example for my children so that they know as we all do, that life will always, without fail, throw you some really interesting and challenging curveballs.
Yes, yes.
What we do with them is what really determines who we become tomorrow.
Right.
I have always lived a very, very reserved, you know, kind of life, completely out of the spotlight. Mm-hmm. However, with the passing of my husband, who really was a barrier for me between myself and the world, I have decided to take on new challenges, part of which is being fulfilled as we speak now, to be able to share my experiences. So thank you, Janice. It was awesome meeting you on LinkedIn. Being able to share my experiences in the hopes that it will reach at least one person who is having perhaps similar challenges,
yes,
maybe not the same, but it's a story of we can do this.
Yes.
No matter what the circumstances are, it's a mindset.
Yeah.
And it's an innate ability and belief that we can overcome.
Right.
And from that, I would say that I have always lived a faithful life. And even that was challenged with my husband's passing, but I've always remained grounded in a higher power.
Right.
And
right.
I think that that has carried me through significantly in all of the challenges that I have faced.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, obviously, that the passing of your husband was obviously a traumatic experience, and my condolences for that.
Thank you.
And you've obviously done a great job in overcoming them. You're raising the kids and stuff like that. But are there any times when you still maybe get what I call wobbles? You know, bouts of self doubt, or you know, confidence. You know, you're not quite sure. Ooh. Should I be doing this? And if so, how do you navigate those?
Yeah, that's a constant, almost daily challenge, right? Because for me, I take parenting very seriously. And I believe that once you've made a decision to become a parent, then you become responsible for the outcome of a life. Not just a life, but the outcome of that life. Noting that this person, this little individual, is someday, hopefully, going to become a positive contributor to society.
Yes.
And so for me, three boys, and I was very, very girly growing up. Some may still say that I am. You know, that in itself presents challenges. Like, what questions do I answer and how? As they grow, they begin to explore. And so they ask questions. Ordinarily, I would have loved to be able to say, okay, go ask daddy.
Yeah.
But I think on the bright side of that, I've always been very open. And I'm open to making mistakes. Right. And learning from them.
Yeah.
My guiding factor is that I don't make the same mistake twice.
Right.
Even when my husband passed, one of the things that I did very early was, and you know, Janice, the beautiful thing about life is sometimes we look back and we don't know where our thought processes came from.
Yeah.
But I gave myself permission to grieve. But I also gave myself a timeline to move on, to move forward.
Right.
Not moving forward without him. Like I said, he's always in my thoughts, in what I say. but certainly in terms of, okay, Wendy, enough sitting around in a dark corner and feeling sorry for yourself. You now need to act. Mm. I believe in action. I don't necessarily believe a lot in talking unless there are action items clearly defined coming out of it. So in terms of self-doubt, I've learned to embrace my questions. I've learned to interrogate my own hesitation. I do. I think it's actually part of my own growth process.
Yeah.
One of the things that it has helped me to do is to be able to look outside of myself. And I used to say this as well when I was in branch life coaching. I'd like you to take 3 years steps into the future.
Mm.
3 years. I want you to step 3 years into the future and look back. And if you think 3 years from now, this challenge is going to be as significant and as looming as it feels to you today, then absolutely you need to halt, pay attention, and figure out exactly what needs to happen.
Mm.
And then I say, look around you. Are there people who have gone through this and lived through it? Yes, there are. More often than not, the challenges that we face today have been surpassed by others. And so why do I think that this is going to cripple me? It's not. I just need to take a breath, step out of my comfort zone, and face it.
Right.
And that has always augured very well for me. Don't get me wrong. There are times when my stomach is in my throat and I feel like I really can't do it. The other thing that has really worked for me as well, and I'm grateful for my mom.
Right, yeah.
My mom lived with us for the last 13 years. My mother has been a constant source of strength and support in my life and everything that I've done. My only brother, has taken on the role of husband, father, uncle, everything that I could need. And so I trust very few persons to get me through the big things.
Yes.
Also have a strong supportive network of friends and family who are always there.
Right.
And they know that I don't abuse it. I call when I need, you know, so there are many, many things that will work for different people in different circumstances.
Yeah.
I think it's left to us to tap into what feels most natural for us.
Yes, yes. And I think it's obviously a series of trial and error, just finding what works, what doesn't work, and just taking it from there.
Definitely.
That's great. That's great. So, Wendy, if you had to start over from scratch, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
Wow, that's a fully loaded question. And one that I've usually asked myself in the deep dark of night. You know, honestly, with all of the challenges that I have faced, and I have faced a few, I honestly do not think that there is anything that I would do differently.
Right.
I am very proud of the person that I am becoming. I constantly refer to myself as a human becoming. And not a human being, because I'm not entirely there yet. That's a lifelong journey. I'm happy with the fact that I recognize the need to pay it forward in life, to give back, and to give back without asking for anything in return. That was also one of the founding things that my mom taught us growing up, that we should be generous in our thoughts, our deeds, our actions, and our words. And I have lived by that as well. I think the challenges that I have faced have helped shape me into a well-rounded individual who can be very empathetic to people of all ages, all races, all creeds, because you've learned through experience. It's not book knowledge, it's hands-on, personal, intimate experiences. I'm cautious not to hurt anyone as I move through life. I'm cautious not to hurt nature and environment as I move through life. And I believe these are just some of the most basic foundational attributes that everyone should have in order to make a decent contribution before we leave this earth.
So thanks for that answer. I really love that. I really love that, Wendy. Some real depth in that as well. Now, just touching on your career, and now you are the president of the Caribbean Association of Banks. Now, in my mind's eye, the banking field has always been a very male-dominated environment. And I came from a very male-dominated environment in the telecom sector as well.
Right.
But I do see glimmers of that changing, albeit slowly. So what advice would you share with other women embarking on their leadership journey, or with young women entering a male-dominated profession?
Yeah. I believe not only for career, but for life, that we should be authentic. Mm-hmm. Always remember who we are. Always remember the why in the things that we do. Why are we here? What is it that we want to accomplish? Why do we want to accomplish it? Why do we think it's important?
Yeah.
Very often in this field, like you rightly said, I've seen women lose their feminine touch. Especially in the boardroom, where they believe that they must be almost aggressive in order to have their voices heard. I believe if your contribution is truly valuable and you have the tools at your disposal in terms of your ability to communicate, that you can be female, you can be feminine to the core and make a positive contribution. It has not been an easy journey by any measure. I remember working with my previous institution when I first announced that I was becoming a mom.
Yeah.
That my boss at the time said to me, you need to make a decision. It's either career or motherhood.
Wow.
And I will never forget, I said to him, why can't I have both?
Mm.
You know, he was a little taken aback, I suppose. I was young and I was blazing a trail, so to speak.
Yes.
And so for him, it was, why now? Why would you do this now? You know, it's going to slow you down.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm thankful 3 boys later, as a single mom, as it were, that it hasn't slowed me down. If anything, it has propelled me. And like I said at the start of the show, a part of the reason why I do the things that I do is to say to my boys that everything is possible.
Yeah.
And that at no time in their lives should they hang their heads and feel sorry for themselves if things are not going quite the way that they planned. It just means that you need to redirect, refocus, and keep moving. Mm. Janice, when I did my master's back in 2012, I did it when my husband was at the time working overseas.
Right.
At the time, I had two boys. And I will never forget the joy that I felt when I would sit on a Sunday afternoon completing my assignments, and my little boys then would pick up their books or their LeapFrog laptops upside down, but they would be right there with me. And there was a message in there. The message was that children will do what they see.
Yeah.
Children will live what they see. And so we have to set positive examples for our children. So again, for me, blessings will be seen wherever you choose to look. If your eyes are open and you're open to receiving blessings, you will find them. They will find you.
Yeah.
And one of the things I always say as well is we must be prepared and open to receive our blessings.
Right. 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 Yeah. Right. And what are some strategies do you think that can help women achieve more prominence in their role at work?
Being serious about what it is that you want to accomplish for you. Doesn't have to be for anybody else. Don't waver. Be aggressive in the things that you want to accomplish from the standpoint that you want to put in the hours to get it done. Oftentimes, I think people tend to struggle between what is it that I really want to do? Do I want to be the popular person? I think there's a time and place for everything in our lives. And so we have to make determinations as to when do we switch. Everything is subject to change. The best laid plans require change and tweaking, and we must be willing to invest the time to see what works for me. Even if it worked for Wendy, it may not necessarily work in exactly the same way for me. And so we too must test ourselves in our lives. We too must make determinations as to what are our plans looking like and be ready to take risks.
Yeah.
Like everything else, right? Measured risks, don't get me wrong, don't just jump in. they must be measured, and they must be measured against what the final outcome and the final goal is that we want to accomplish. But we must take risks.
So you touched on goals there, which is great. And as you said, it's almost about planning. It's taking those risks. But what do you think holds women back from going for their goals?
I think stereotyping has a lot to do with it. And not only women, but generally speaking, I think we all have that little voice in our head that tells us that we can't accomplish. Janice, that sounds like something that you've also been familiar with.
Yes, very familiar. And it's ongoing.
It's ongoing. It is ongoing. No matter how successful and how accomplished you are in life, if you listen to the biggest stars, if you listen to Oprah Winfrey, Rihanna for the younger generation, you would hear stories of them doubting whether or not this is possible. Will it work? And it's natural. It's actually a part of the adrenaline that's built into our systems to protect us from defeat. One thing that I am consistently doing is I coach myself through life. And oftentimes I say this and people look at me like, okay, Wendy, what are you talking about? I do. I literally coach myself through things that are challenging and uncomfortable for me.
If
I believe that it is going to be part of my success.
Yeah.
So I will stand before a room full of people, something that I absolutely am very uncomfortable doing. And I will embrace the fact that for the first 5 minutes, my hands will tremble like a leaf. My legs will feel like jello. And anyone can do this. You can look at any clip of me presenting anywhere and you'll see that I hold on to the podium. And that is to steady myself initially, knowing that as I go through the presentation, it's going to become a little bit easier. I can breathe more freely. And so I embrace the things that make me feel a little out of my zone, because I know that when I've successfully completed it, I'll celebrate. Very small celebrations, but celebrations all the same.
And we have to keep celebrating those small wins.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
We have to keep doing it.
It doesn't have to be anything huge, but it's a little pat on the shoulder to say, I knew you could do this. You got this. I'm a big proponent of of self-gratification. But like I said, it's not that I'm going to fly off to Las Vegas every time I do something great. But I will acknowledge that I have done something different.
Yeah, yeah. And I love, like you said, about the holding onto the podium, because it's like, I know you said you feel uncomfortable doing it. I actually love the public speaking. However, I will confess, I will admit that before I go on stage, I almost have this little internal ritual where I don't eat. I know I can't eat. I still have the butterflies, or my husband will go to me, you know, you're in your zone, aren't you? I said, yeah, don't talk to me.
Yes.
You know, so.
It's natural.
So I have my little process, and then that's for me. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, just, you know, once you get on there, just go out, shine that, give that smile, you know, get the first line out, and you'll be good.
And I think these are the little things that people need to share, because everyone needs to know the absolute best public speaker is going to experience some hesitation, some trepidation before stepping out. Like, am I going to reach this audience? Are they going to appreciate the message? Am I going to be able to deliver the message? But at the end of the day, we do. And that's true for many other things. This is just a small example of, you know, how we can overcome.
Very much. And then I always critique myself afterwards. And I'm like, shush. Someone tells you something good. Okay, believe it. You did okay.
Exactly. And listen, Janice, the reality is the best football teams, and guys, I am by no means a sporting enthusiast. I have no idea about sports. But what I do know is that at the end of the season, the best coaches will pull their teams together and review their matches. What did you do well? This is how you performed in this match, which is why we won. Great job. This is what you could have done differently. Notice I'm not saying this is what you did badly.
Yeah.
Because we must always use positive reinforcement in speaking to ourselves and our teams. But it helps you to grow. It helps you to recognize your opportunities and work towards making them your strengths. And strengthen what already is a natural talent for you.
Absolutely. So I love that. So you gave me a little analogy there about, you know, the football teams and stuff like that. So Wendy, share with me a success quote or a mantra that you use and why it's meaningful for you.
Mm-hmm. This one is really easy. I believe in treating everyone the way that I would like to be treated.
Okay.
That is just the basic, most basic truth in my life, that I am kind to everyone. It doesn't matter where you are in the social strata. It doesn't matter where you've come from. Like I said, I came from the ghetto and I embrace that. I love to say it, actually. Because you just never know, right? I don't know that it's the the homeless guy on the side of the street who's going to be the one to come to my rescue tomorrow. I don't know that it's my senior vice president who's going to be the one to give me a helping hand or to give me a pat on the shoulder to reinforce something that I've done well. And so I truly, truly believe in helping everyone as much as I can in every way that I can. And again, it doesn't have to be financial, because I know people often shy away from those sorts of things. It can be a smile. It's something as simple as walking by someone you've never seen before and perhaps you never will see again and offering them a smile. And before I was married, I always said when I worked at the bank that I would treat everyone with common respect, because I didn't know who would be my boss tomorrow. My future in-law.
Absolutely.
And it's actually beautiful that one of the people who fell in love with me when I was a teller at the bank turned out to be my aunt in-law. So it's a small world getting smaller every day, and I think if we practice just that basic principle, we can make a huge difference
absolutely
to everyone.
And it's like you said, no one knows. People, I think people are very quick to judge because they've never know your background. They would look and you say, oh, she's doing very well, or she's done this,
correct,
and that she must come from this. But you know, we've all had our journeys and our stories. You know, we've all pulled ourselves off by the bootstraps to get to where we are. And the most powerful thing is to remember where you come from. Because like you said, sometimes you may be unfortunate not to meet the people on the way down.
That's correct.
If you're not careful.
You're so right. And I'll tell you another thing that guides me now that I am a mom. that if I paid forward in life and should anything unforeseen happen with me, that my children will live by the kindnesses that I've offered to persons around me. And that's a big deal for me, because we just don't know. We don't raise our children for ourselves. And life is promised to no man.
So
the guiding principle in everything that I do, I would like to believe, is love. I approach everything with love, with honesty, and hopefully it becomes a ripple effect.
Nice. Now, you talked about your children, and I know you have a teenager in your house.
I do.
Which is always interesting, but especially teenage boys. But what advice would you give to your teenage self?
To my teenage son?
Yeah, to yourself, teenage self.
Oh, to my teenage self.
Yeah.
Well, my teenage self was a very good girl. I must say that I was deeply involved in church. I was actually a catechist. At 16, I taught catechism. And I was very focused. The one thing that perhaps I would say to her is that I could have taken life a little less seriously. I could have learned to laugh a little bit more, a little bit earlier. But by the same token, it has taught me to laugh a lot more now that I'm older. So, you know, just as a life lesson, I think we have to learn to have a sense of humor about the things that are going to come our way. And not to take ourselves too seriously. So that's my little bit of advice for teenage Wendy.
Excellent. So Wendy, so if you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why?
I think that I was fortunate to have had the greatest mentor in my life from birth. I always say to my mom that when I was up on the clouds in heaven, that I looked down and said, okay, Heavenly Father, this is the one that I want. And I have continued to live that way. My mom has, like I said, raised my older brother and myself alone. To this day, I am honored whenever I say her name, that the response is always a strong, positive affirmation of a woman who has done well by herself and her children. On a bigger scale, you know, perhaps I would say that my mentor, I've been really fortunate. Jennifer Murray would have been a lady that I worked with at Scotiabank back in 2012, 2015, throughout that period. She's retired now, but she also had some great values. She taught me to take up responsibility and believe in myself. And I'm always grateful to her for that. So truly, my mentors, I don't have to look very far outside of the Caribbean. I think we have some tremendous leaders within our own systems. The one person that I would love to be able to meet right now would be the Honorable Mia Motley.
Last night I shared a post on my Facebook page saying that it's one of my goals to interview her for this podcast. I'm going to put it out there again.
The universe is speaking to you. That's a challenge. No, but I think that she has been doing absolutely amazing things. I really just want to ask her, do you sleep? Do you ever sleep? Because, you know, at the speed that she's moving, the speed of light, with everything that's happening around her, it is truly incredible to see what she's being able to accomplish.
Definitely. That's
what I'm with you about. There are so many more. There are just so many more within a small Caribbean basin.
And that's the whole idea of doing the podcast, is to actually show that. Because I think in the region-wise, or outside the region, maybe people don't think about mentors or people, women of power, or, you know, coming out of the region. And there are so many, like you said, there are so many women doing so many great things that I definitely want to share, you know, share their journeys and share their stories.
Absolutely. I think you have quite a picking.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
So Wendy, I'm coming down to my last few questions, so we'll get you out of the hot seat. But what are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
Oh, okay. Yeah, these are really tough questions. You get me thinking. I've learned that I can be very resilient.
Yes.
I have learned that I can be extremely patient. But what I celebrate the most about myself in everything is my desire to help people accomplish more than they thought. I think I said that at the onset.
Yes.
But that is truly one of the greatest sources of satisfaction that I get. In banking, it would have been to help my customers achieve financial freedom, achieve their financial goals. And more especially when people turn back and say, yes, we did it.
Mm.
Or when you've moved on and they still call you, it's a testament to accomplishing the most basic principle, which is to help your brother. And so those would have been perhaps the things that I am happiest about.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you rattled those off very quickly. You didn't have to think very hard for those.
Because they're true. They're authentic.
Exactly. Exactly. So where would we find you on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m.? Do I ask with three boys?
Oh, boy.
Where would we find you?
Where wouldn't you find me? Well, there we have to think. It's either that I'd be dropping kids off to my 11-year-old is preparing for common entrance in whatever form that will take this year.
Yeah.
So he's probably being dropped off or picked up, or I'm at the supermarket combination. So I may be at the beach if I'm lucky. But those are typically the places that you will most likely find me on a Saturday. I'm doing all of the things that I would not necessarily get to do during the week.
Yeah.
And you should have asked me what I'm doing on a Sunday. That's when I cook everything that I can find in the house. I love to cook.
Okay.
It's the only day that I do. So on a Sunday, it's my stress relief day where I have music blasting and food being prepared with love.
Mm-hmm. I hear that. And one question is to go with that, actually, because obviously you have, you know, I've seen you popping up all over the place now on LinkedIn and doing different events and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And the one thing I like women to share who have busy careers is how do they, and I hate to use, no, I'm not going to use the word balance, but how do you mm-hmm. integrate? How do you manage to have that work-life flow mm-hmm. that's comfortable for you?
Yeah, I think that truly is personal decisions. These are really choices. So if it's something that I want, then I have to go after it.
Yes.
I'm very open with my family, so they know why I make the decisions that I make. And more often, they're a part of final decision making. My boys usually are from a very tender age. If it's buying a vehicle, they're part of that decision making process, because they will have to carry the mantle someday. So you teach them to think things through.
Right.
For me, it's very careful planning. My husband always said sleep is highly overrated. And at the time, it made no sense to me whatsoever. But it really has hit home that sleep is highly overrated. Not to say that we shouldn't get sleep.
Yeah.
But I think there are sacrifices that we have to learn to make in life at every stage of our lives. So if we're teenagers preparing for exams, then we sleep differently than we normally do.
Yeah.
And then we know that we'll have a makeup period. So I enjoy my makeup periods. I celebrate them like a Sunday. But you know that there are times of the day or there are days of the week when you need to push productivity.
Yes.
Right? So particularly with my boys, that is, if ever there's a balancing that needs to be done, it's with them.
Yeah.
And so all of my decisions tend to center around them. If I know that I'm going to be out for a 2-week span, I'll say this on podcast and hope that I don't get into too much trouble, but there are times when I'll pull them out to take them down to the airport with me.
Right.
Because it's important for me to know that we've bonded.
Yes.
And it's important to for them to know that I'm thinking of them for that 2-week period.
Yeah.
And then we have our little calls. When I get back home, I try to make sure that I carve out, you know, at least a 24-hour period where we focus on them.
Yeah.
So life is really about a balance of the things that matter.
Yeah.
My children know that I am the only parent. There's no other option. This is plan A, B, and C right here.
Right.
And so they understand, and I'm grateful for that too.
Yeah.
It's important to talk to our children.
Definitely.
It's important to talk to them from a very tender age because they're actually brilliant creatures.
Yes.
Absolutely brilliant. They get it.
Yeah.
I don't hide anything from them. And so it helps. But planning our lives is very, very important.
Yeah. And just to add to that, when you talked about obviously having the longer hours, all the longer days, mm-hmm. one of the things that gave me great stead later down the line for me in my career was actually not to feel guilt. If you've done that and you've done all those hours and you've worked till midnight on a project and stuff like that, is not to feel guilty by taking that extra 30 minutes in the morning. You know,
yes.
Because yeah. No one sees that time. And that's the challenge. I think sometimes we can feel guilty that we're not there for the 8 till 4, the 8 till 5. And actually, you don't know how productive I've been outside those hours.
Yes.
So I stopped having the guilt of feeling like, oh, I should be there because mm-hmm. I did an extra 5 hours the night before.
Exactly.
Maybe I had a role that allowed me to do that, but.
Right. But I think though a big part of it is communication.
Yes.
And like I said, we have to give ourselves permission to experience things.
Very much.
But we must also be mindful of the fact that we are accountable to someone.
Yes.
For me, I'm accountable to my board and more specifically my chairman. So if it is that I feel the need for a couple of hours, I'm not just going to assume that it's okay to take it.
Mm.
But I will communicate with him that I need a couple hours.
Yes. Yes.
And it may be that he says, okay, Wendy, the time that you're looking at right now is just, there's something I really need accomplished. How about if you do it? We find common ground.
Yeah, the compromise. Yeah.
I think that the challenge will arise when we think that we are entitled.
Yes.
Right? There's a massive difference. So if you're working with an organization with set work hours, and for whatever reason, there's a personal challenge or a need, a desire for time outside of or within those work hours, you should communicate it.
Definitely.
And I think you would be met with a measure of flexibility. At least I would like to think so.
Yeah. I mean, nobody likes to be in the dark. It's the surprises that are more annoying, not the fact you took the time in that situation. It's the common courtesy. No one's going to say no. Well, I know you did those hours. I know you did this, blah, blah. Yeah, that's fine. Thanks for letting me know. That's it.
Yeah. I think that's all it comes down to. And I think that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
Oftentimes that's the little disconnect that may cause friction where friction did not need to be.
Yes. 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 So thank you for that, Wendy. That was an impromptu question. So my last question is what does success feel like to you?
A success for me, perhaps unlike most people, is not the huge leaps forward.
Right.
Success for me truly is every little step that I did not think I could take. When I look back and realize that I took it, I'm still standing, I'm still breathing, that's a massive success. And I will celebrate every single one. But success for me truly is being able to push yet another step. Wow. So redefining what was unimaginable before and not being content enough to settle.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of success, that life is learning. And the challenges are really what allow us to recognize just what can be accomplished personally and with outside of ourselves. So for me, success is being able to take every additional step.
Fantastic.
And being able to look back and know that we've done something that we did not think we could do when we started the journey.
Excellent. Excellent. And guess what?
Is it time?
It is time. And you just did one. You accomplished. You did your podcast. So Wendy, if people would like to connect with you, how can they do that? Is that possible?
Absolutely. I've found LinkedIn to be one of the greatest means of meeting people that you probably would not have immediate access to. I can also be contacted at wendy.delma@cab-inc.com. My personal email address, which I don't mind sharing, is WAMD, which are my initials, Wendy Ann Maraj Delma, 2012. @gmail.com.
Fabulous.
So any of those, you will find me with tremendous ease.
Excellent. And I'll be sure to add those details to the show notes. So Wendy, all that remains to say is thank you so much for joining me this Monday morning.
It's been my absolute pleasure, Janice. I thank you. I'm, like I said, I'm grateful to LinkedIn. There's a little promotion for them for being able to connect like-minded professional individuals.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Janice, and great show. Keep it up. When you have Mia on, please let me know so that I can
make sure I tune in. I'm putting it in the universe.
There you go. All right, great. Thank you so much again for your time.
Thank you.
Didn't I tell you it was a great interview? There were so many gems. I really admire her for being so open and sharing not just the good, but also the bad that has happened in her life and how that's propelled her to be the person she is and make her so much stronger. I love the fact things about she was saying about always remembering the why in the things you do. If that's really, really important, you know, why are you taking certain actions? And I think to that is to make sure the why really resonates for you, because that why can sometimes be for all the wrong reasons, which means you really won't get the results you're looking for. The fact that she said everything is possible, and I truly believe in that, even at our lowest points, there is a lot more that can be achieved once we change our mindset. And I also love the fact that she talked about the challenging yourself with the uncomfortable and being prepared to take measured risks. You know my view on risks. If you listen to previous episodes, I'm all about taking measured and calculated risks, because that's how we move forward, challenging ourselves with the uncomfortable to actually explore areas that we always been fearful of. And that's what Wendy did with this week, with the interview with me. She'd never had a podcast before, never interviewed for a podcast before, and she was a little nervous about what to do, what would be involved, but she really challenged herself, and as you can see, the outcome was fantastic and fabulous. You know, that's my favorite word. So if you need some more support, if you want to explore more about how you face the challenges of getting more comfortable with the uncomfortable, if you want to fight imposter syndrome, gain more confidence, lose the perfectionism that's holding you back, all the different things that impact you in your career, you can get all this support, more advice and more support and more by joining the This Woman Can online community. It's definitely easy to join. It's free. All you need to do is head over to thiswomancan.coach. It's aimed at professional women. It's aimed at women who want to make a difference in their career, in their life. And we just have a great network where we support each other. So as I said, head over to thiswomancan.coach. And if I could ask one more favour, for wherever you're listening to this podcast, this episode, or what platform, please remember to review, share, subscribe, let people know how much you got out of the podcast, what you really enjoyed about it, and leave a review for me. That's how I get the word out to more fabulous women like you. So that's it for this week. As I said, have a fantastic week. I hope to see you in the This Woman Can community. And remember, if I can, you can, this woman can. Take care until next time. Hi, it's Janice. Thanks for being a supporter of the podcast. But have you joined the This Woman Can community online? It's where ambitious women can share experiences, strategies, and insights that equip and inspire them to build their career success, maximize their leadership, and make an impact in their world. And it's free. Join today. Visit www.thiswomancan.coach. Look forward to meeting you there.